any other living human being, or advanced vertebrate, for that matter. He smiled, flashing a row of brilliant white teeth. But you'll have to be the judge of that, I'm afraid. I probably wouldn't want to run that risk. Sensible fellow. Pransky beckoned with an open palm that I should walk on, past the kidney-shaped koi pond which was the focal point of this annex of the building. "Before you get too cocky," I said, standing my ground, "you might like to know that I'm also armed." "I do know," he said. "I could tell you the specification of your weapon now, if you wanted me to. I could also tell you the probability of one of your ice slugs managing to kill me before I inject you with the toxin, and I don't think you'd be very impressed by the odds. Failing that, I could tell you that your gun is currently in your right pocket and your hand isn't, which does rather limit its usefulness. Shall we proceed?" I started moving. "You're working for Rivage, aren't you?" For the first time, something in his face told me he wasn't in total control of the situation. "Never heard of him," he said, irritated, and I allowed myself a smile. It wasn't much of a victory, but it was better than nothing. Of course, Pransky could have been lying, but had he wanted to, I was sure he could have concealed it more effectively. But I'd caught him off guard. Inside the plaza, there was a vacant silver palanquin waiting for me. Pransky waited until no one was paying us any attention, then had the palanquin clam open, revealing a plush red seat. "You'll never guess what I'm about to ask," Pransky said. I got into the machine, easing myself into the seat. After the door had closed, I experimented with some of the controls set into the interior, but none of them did anything. Then, in deathly silence, the palanquin started moving. I looked through the little green window and watched the plaza glide by, Pransky walking slightly ahead of me. Then I started feeling drowsy. Zebra looked me over, a long and cool appraisal such as I might have expended on a new rifle. Her expression was difficult to judge. All the theories I'd concocted had depended on her either looking very pleased or very annoyed to be reacquainted with me. Instead, she just looked worried. "What the hell's going on?" I said, "if you don't mind my asking." She stood legs akimbo, shaking her head slowly as she answered me. "You've got one hell of a nerve to ask me what I'm doing after all you did to me. Right now I'd say we're even." "Where'd you find him and what was he doing?" she asked Pransky. "Hanging around," the man said, "attracting too much attention." "I was trying to get to you," I said to Zebra. Pransky gestured towards one of the markedly utilitarian chairs which served for furniture in the room to which I had been brought. "Have a seat, Mirabelle. You're not going anywhere in a hurry." "I'm surprised you were in any rush to meet me again," Zebra said. "After all, you didn't exactly overstay your welcome last time." My gaze tracked over Pransky, trying to place him in this and figure out how much he knew. "I left a note," I said plaintively, "and I called you back to apologize. And the fact that you thought I might know where a game was going down was sheer coincidence." I shrugged, exploring the parameter space of discomforts offered by the stiffly unyielding seat. "Who else was I going to call?" "You piece of shit, Mirabelle. I don't know why I'm doing this, you know? You don't deserve it at all." Zebra still looked like Zebra, unless you focused on the specifics. She had muted her skin tone now, so that the stripes were little more than rush-like grey blades folded around the contours of her face, delineations that vanished altogether in a certain light. The frill of rigid black hair had become a blonde bob, trimmed in a blunt fringe across her forehead. Her clothes were unostentatious, and she wore a coat of similar cut to my own.